Okay, the next verse, it talks about how does the person act and what happens to the person who sees the Lord. He says, remember, he sees who sees. So, one who sees the Lord everywhere, who perceives the Lord, who experiences in his heart, sees again. It's okay to say, okay, I see God in all the beings, but not only sees everyone everywhere, but sees God in himself and becomes a divine instrument of the Lord. You cannot say, okay, God is in me and then go around doing evil things or hurting things. If you truly experience the God's presence within, then you would become a saint. Then you would no longer be a criminal. So one who is a saintly person who experiences the Lord, who sees the Lord, how does he act or she act in the world? And what does that person do? It's very beautifully described in the verse number 29. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra. Samavasthitam ishwaram. Nahinstyatmanatmanam. Nahinastyatmanatmanam. Atmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. So samam means equally, the same. Sama is the same, is similar to the English samam, same, equally. Pashyan means seeing. While he is seeing, sarvatra, everywhere seeing. Samavasthitam, and the same stationed in all. Like Armando was asking, is he the same in all? Yes, samavasthitam. He's equally there in everybody. He's equally there in the plants. He's equally there in the criminals. He's equally there. Ishwaram. Ishwaram means the Lord. Here he's called as the Lord. Ishwaram, the Lord of all, all the entire universe. Ishwaram. So what happens to a person who equally sees the Lord everywhere, not only everywhere outside, but in me as the life, as the support, as the thread that is holding my body and making it function? In fact, he experiences that is me. He no longer thinks I am the body. He says, I am that divinity at this moment functioning through the body. And that is the change in attitude between us and the wise person. You and I, we still are so identified with the body that we cannot lose that. But the wise person goes beyond that and becomes the experiencer of the body, the owner of the body. In fact, there is a very beautiful prayer. It's in the Upanishad. It says, Hiranmayena Patrena Satya Syapihitam Mukham Tatvam Pushana Pavranu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. So he says, Pushana, O sun god. You know, this is a very beautiful prayer to say in the morning. I do that every morning, and then I also do the Gayatri mantra. But this is a more beautiful prayer where it says, Hiranmayena Patrena Satya Syapihitam Mukham. He says, Satyasya Mukham, the mouth of the truth, the face of the truth, Apihitam, is covered by what? Hiranmayena Patrena, with a golden pot. So the truth has, the face of truth has been covered or concealed by this golden pot. Tattvam Pushan Apavranu, O Pushan, O some god, sun god, Tvam Apavranu, you please uncover Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye, so I may see the truth. I may see the truth of my own existence. So this golden pot has two meanings. One is, of course, that we are so engrossed in money pursuit that all we can think is money, 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 gold, gold, gold. So this gold vision is covering my thinking. And so I can't think of God because I'm so engrossed. The other meaning of golden pot is that this body is also brown. You know, it is kind of golden. So my body identification has covered my vision. I think of myself as being this golden pot. And so I cannot get out of that. So, sun god, you please give me the wisdom to uncover. It's a very, very beautiful prayer. Even if you don't know the Sanskrit, just do it in English. It's wonderful. It helps you to kind of try to get out of this body identification. So a person who has understood that he is no longer this body, what does he do? Na hinasti atmana atmanam. He does not kill himself by himself. Does not destroy the self by the self. So we do that. He says, na hinasti, does not kill atmana atmanam. So he does not kill himself by himself. Tato yati param gatim. And therefore, then he goes to the highest goal. Yati goes, tato param gatim, to the highest goal. So this seeing the God everywhere, we talked a little bit in the previous verse. But what I mainly wanted to talk about is attention. Keep your attention on that. There's a very, very beautiful story. There were these two cousins. One lived in the country and one lived in the city. And they had not seen each other for many years, but they were very close when they were childhood, growing up together. And then from the country, one of them moved to the city. And so he calls his cousin, he sends him a letter. You know, you need to come and visit me in the city. You know, it's been so many years. And we can, you know, recollect old times and all that and all that. So the man from the country takes a train, goes to the city, and there he spends 2-3 weeks. And after a week or two, he's totally fed up. You know, it's so congested, so crowded. He is one of these busy cities like New York. There's so much traffic. Or like in India, where there is so much noise and traffic and pollution, and you know, there's no space to walk on the streets. The streets are packed, and then the cousin lives in a little basement room down below, and you know, he's dying to see even fresh air. You know, he's so miserable, but you know, he has come to see his cousin, and he has 3 weeks vacation. He can't leave, so he's enjoying being with the cousin, but he feels suffocated. He wants to that openness of the country and he wants to experience that, but he can't. And then so one day the two of them are walking in the busy street and there's so much noise and traffic and everybody in India honks, you know that. So they were honking, so it's so loud and there's construction going on and all this noise. And suddenly he says, stop, stop. So his cousin says, what happened? He says, listen. He said, what, listen what? He says, go here. And then he goes to that alley and in the little crack in the ground, there's a little cricket chirping. And he says, see, you hear that sound? So cousin says, I can't hear it. What are you talking? It's so noisy. He said, don't you hear it? So because the country one, he was so trained to hear the cricket sound and he was dying. So he said, I was dying to hear some sounds of nature. And here I found it. And that the other person, his mind is so noisy there, you know, he said, I couldn't hear. Even when it was pointed out, he couldn't hear because the attention was not there. So then the person says, the city cousin, he said, how did you happen to hear that? He says, you have to put your attention. I'll show you. So they walk a couple of blocks and it's again a very crowded street and there's noise and traffic and very loud. And what he does from his pocket, he takes out a couple of quarters, chavannis, you know, and he throws them on the ground and clink, clink, clink. You know, it's a soft sound and everybody around stops whatever they were doing. They know it's not. People walking, people driving, the bus, he says, see, wherever you put your attention, because these people are all they are thinking from morning to night, 24 hours, 365 days is money, 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 money. So the sound of money, they get very attracted. All the other sounds are going on. So it is where you put your attention. So turn your attention to the Lord. Take every opportunity to chant His name. Wake up in the morning and just chant Om Namah Shivaya. Sleep at night chanting His name. Throughout the day, every opportunity, you turn your attention. The more you do it, the more you will see Him. Like that person could find the cricket even in the city. So you can see the Lord everywhere. He's there in every one of these individuals. He's there in the growing of the trees and the plants and the movement of the breeze. In the moon, this early morning, it's a beautiful moon. if you wake up about 5 o'clock this morning, you can see that Lord everywhere. All you have to do is turn your attention. So keeping your attention in that direction, that is the only way to see him. Then the Kathopanishad, some of you are doing the Kathopanishad in the women's class. There's a very beautiful example. It says, the self assumes different shapes. What do they mean by that? It says in that, that just as fire, now suppose a house catches fire, unfortunately it happened, and you are standing there and there's a huge fire, the trees have caught fire around the house, even the furniture, the chair, the wooden table, everything is on fire. And if you are watching, what you will see, the fire, when it consumes the tree, it looks like the tree. It takes the shape of the tree and then ultimately the tree collapses. It will take the shape of the chair and then the chair will collapse, the table. So just as fire assumes different shapes, and the air, then it says in that Kathopanishad, the air assumes different shapes. Like if it's a closed pot and you put air in that, it will have the shape of the pot. Then it's a square box, you close it, the air has this square shape. So just as the air assumes different shapes depending on the type of container, just as fire assumes different shapes, so this self or this consciousness assumes different shapes. In an elephant, it is huge. In an ant, it is small. It's not that the self is small or big, but it assumes because it is, everything is that one. So see it. Then they say, Samavasthitam Ishwaram. It's called the Lord. And in fact, the Bhagwan or the Paramatma or the is called the Lord of Lords. So the Lord example actually is very beautiful. It said that in olden England, you know, in the Middle Ages, 16th, 17th century, England was controlled by these lords. You know, there were these different Lord of Windsor and Lord of Manchester and Lord of, you know, all these different small towns or little villages were controlled by these lords. So there were these landowners who owned all the land in that particular town or that particular village. And the king would grant him, okay, I grant you Canterbury. So you become the Lord of Canterbury or the Lord of Windsor. So the king, to give out favors, he would assign, okay. So now this owner of this land, which may be a few thousand acres or whatever, is the owner. He himself is not working there. So what he will do, he will hire people, you know, tenants, and they have to pay him rent. And so they will farm the land. Then every year they will pay him rent. Once the crop comes, then, you know, they will pay him rent. Now the Lord himself doesn't do any work. He's the akarta. He's the non-doer. But in his presence, in his ownership, that whole farming is happening and the tenants are working and they are paying their dues. So similarly, the Lord of this whole universe owns this whole universe. Everything belongs to him. We are tenants. We are on this earth temporarily for a while and we are occupying the space that has been given. The Lord himself is the non-doer. He does not do anything. But we have to do our assigned duties, whatever we have, as a tenant without any ownership. You know, my house, again, belongs to the Lord. My car, my children, everything belongs to the Lord. I am a tenant here. And because obviously I'm a tenant. I'm not going to occupy that house permanently, right? In 20, 30, 40 years, one day I have to be carried out. You know, no matter how big a house it is, how much I love it, how much I'm attached, I can't take it with me upstairs. I have to leave it. So function as a tenant without any sense of ownership. And just as the tenant pays rent every year, so the Lord says, I don't need any rent. As I said, all he says is just love me and remember me. That's all I want. And he's pleased with that. He does not expect anything back. He does not want anything. You know, the tenant, if he doesn't pay rent, the landlord evicts him. This God, even if you don't pay rent, even if you don't remember him, don't love him, he still keeps supporting us. So that's why the word Ishwara, the word Lord, means it has good meaning. That's why this. Then he says, the person does not destroy the self by the self. न हिनस्ति आत्मना आत्मानम. आत्मना बाय द सेल्फ, आत्मानम डज नॉट डिस्ट्रॉय, डज नॉट किल. सो स्वामीजी इन हिज कॉमेंट्री ऑल्सो एक्सप्लेन्स इट, बट ही सेज दैट वेन डज द सेल्फ बिकम एन एनिमी ऑफ द सेल्फ. वेन डू आई बिकम माई ओन एनिमी? वेन डू आई डिस्ट्रॉय माई सेल्फ? सो इन द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर श्री कृष्ण सेज, I am my own enemy and I am my own friend. Now, when do I become my own enemy and when do I become my own friend? So they say that the mind and the intellect are two equipments I have. The mind does whatever the impulse, whatever it feels like doing. I feel like eating an ice cream, I'll go eat, whether I need it or not, whether it's good for me or not. I feel like eating cheese pizza, I'll go eat it. So, but if the intellect says, wait a minute, you know, it's not good for you, or whatever, it could be food, it could be doing something illegal or doing something immoral or doing something heart hurtful, or, you know, I just feel like doing it, or, you know, I do it for a selfish reason. So the mind does what it feels like, but the intellect has to exert control, because the intellect is the one that has the right understanding through from the scriptures, from the guru, from the teacher. So a mind that is under the control of the intellect becomes a friend. But if the mind says, I feel like doing it, intellect says, you know, don't do it, mind says, I don't care, I'm going to have fun. Life is meant to have fun. Khao piyo maja karo. Let me have a few drinks and let me have some parties. Let me have a good time. Intellect says, okay, go ahead. Intellect also joins. Then what happens? That mind becomes the enemy. So a mind that is directed by the intellect on the higher path becomes my friend. A mind that is not under the control of the intellect and goes downward towards bad actions becomes the enemy. Swamiji in his commentary gives a beautiful example. He says it's like a car. You know, I'm driving a car and I'm going downhill, and suddenly the brakes fail and the car won't stop and the car goes out of control. Now that car, which was my friend and was taking me safely to my destination, suddenly the brakes failed. Now that car became my enemy. It's going to go crash into a tree or crash into the, you know, go off the cliff, and I might get hurt or die. So the car that was, when it was under my control, was my friend. When I lose control, becomes my enemy. So that's what he says, that a person whose mind is under the control of his intellect, who lets the scriptures be the guide, as Swamiji told us this week, he says, let the scriptures be your guide. Let the guru be your guide. So when your mind is guided by the intellect in the right direction and follows it. See, how do I know what is the right direction? By listening to the teachers. And once I have understood, then I have to bring it into my life. So mind that is under the influence is a friend, and the one who is not following the directions, that he is destroying the self by the self. So he is destroying himself by himself. So he is his own enemy and he is his own friend. In the Amrita Bindu Upanishad, it starts with that. Mana e manushya nam karanam bandha moksha yoho. He says the mind is the source of your bondage and the mind is the source of freedom. A mind that is attached to sense objects is bondage. A mind that is attached to the self is free. So how do you free yourself? By attaching it to the higher, and then that mind will take you upwards and make you free. So he says that person who does that, then he no longer destroys himself and he goes to the highest goal. As we had talked in the beginning, the highest goal of life is to know the self, to know God, to reach him. And that is the reason we have this human birth. That is the reason we are all here. So one who understands this, one who understands it, who starts applying that And there will be temptations in life, you know, you will want to do good and then somebody will come to distract you, or your own mind, you know, it's not somebody else, your own mind will say, you know, you want to get up in the morning to meditate, mind will say, come on, you know, it's so dark, let's sleep another half an hour. And you know, you press the snooze button a couple of times and then the poor clock also stops, you know, alarm clock. And, you know, it's okay, tomorrow we'll meditate, today is too cold, or today, you know, we always have excuses why I cannot, you know, go to the church or to the temple, or why I can't do good. You know, I had volunteered to show up somewhere. Today I'm tired, you know. Today it's a cloudy day. Today it's raining. Today it's too sunny. You know, you can always find excuses, you know, to not do the good. So do that. And once you decide, once you know your goal, then be firm in that endeavor. So these two beautiful verses show us the path and then show us also the result of following the path, what happens. How the wise person acts. So they are very, very practical, very useful verses. Like any comments? Yes? No, as a result of the vasanas, as a result, like I think yesterday there was a very good seminar you missed. It was beautiful. Swamiji showed us that as a result of wrong impressions in the vasanas, I get wrong desires in the intellect, which leads to wrong thoughts in the mind, which leads to wrong actions in the instruments of perception. So, and then that leads to, again, strengthening of the vasanas. So it starts with the vasanas as an impression, then becomes a desire, thought, and action. So the instruments, what he's talking about is the maladjustments of the instruments of perception is at the body level, I think. Yeah, field is this everything. Everything below Om is the field. My vasanas, the body, the mind, the intellect, the perceiver, feeler, thinker, the ego, and the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. So everything short of consciousness is the field. This body is the field, and this whole universe is the field. But the knower of the field is indicated by Om or the Lord. So Kshetra and Kshetrajna. So he says, in the first verse, he says, Kshetrajna chapi mam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharat. So Krishna says, I am the knower of all the fields. And idam shariram kaunteya, even this body is a field. No, ego is not the knower of the field. The ego is also known to the ego knows the field, yes. But then the state of the ego is also known to the consciousness. But the ego is not the ultimate knower. Yeah, like I know, I can see all of you. But how is the ego able to function? Because of the power provided by consciousness. What is the exact sentence? Gaze. Yeah, so the ego, the perceiver, feeler, thinker is perceiving. The perceiver, feeler, thinker is perceiving the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. So the ego is what? The perceiver, feeler, and thinker. But that's not the ultimate knower. It is the knower of the field in the limited sense. Right. Thank you. Everybody loves stories, and I myself enjoy stories. So when you start telling stories, everybody's attention, even people who are dozing off a little bit, they say, oh, story, okay. Stories and jokes, these are two things that keep people awake. That's what I learned from Gurudev and from all these acharyas. If you listen to Swami Tejomayanandaji, who's the present head, oh my God, his humor is so masterful. He's so funny. And at the same time, Swami Tejomayanandaji has this rare gift that even the most difficult Upanishad, the most difficult subject, like, you know, he will be talking about some of the most difficult texts, Ashtavakra Gita or all of these, you know. But even the most absolute beginner in the audience, it will become crystal clear to him. He has this wonderful gift of explanation. I mean, if there is a most masterful teacher, that is him. And with so much humor and he's so clear, his thinking and he's it's wonderful. If you have an opportunity, he comes to PRC every year. You must go for a week. Go and stay in PRC. PRC is not too far. It's 3 hours north of California, Northern California. Beautiful setting. There's a river there, and there are mountains, and it's, you know, very nice rooms. You know, basic rooms, not comfort. And they have a conference hall, and Guruji, we call him Guruji, comes every year. Go listen to him for a week, and you'll be so delighted because his teachings are full of wisdom and humor. He's extremely funny. If nothing else, you just go for his jokes. Yeah, I remember one time we were doing a camp in Palm Springs. And what used to happen was they had guided meditation in the morning. So we would get up in the morning and, you know, and then we would go sit for half an hour or 45 minutes guided meditation. And then you were supposed to maintain silence during the tea time. So half an hour for tea. So half an hour or 45 minutes guided half an hour guided meditation, then half an hour silence. And there would be an hour and a half of Upanishad class with Guruji Swami Tejomayananda. And that Upanishad class, when you were sitting there, it was like you were in deep meditation. The way he explains these Upanishads. So it was like 2.5 hours, half hour of meditation, half hour of silence, and an hour and a half. So from 6 to 8:30 in the morning, it was like heaven. It was such a beautiful experience. He's a masterful teacher. You must, you know, he comes every year to PRC for a week. Take a week off. There's no better vacation you can have. It's a beautiful setting. You can we go for walks in the evening, and you know the mountains are there and the river. It's very pretty and very nice place and very reasonable the way they do it. It's worth. So do that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.